You know, some people enjoy composing their own music, chord by chord, and others are happiest when they come across that one perfect song. Work is not a lot different than that. Whether you prefer building your own workflow or using a pre-made template, with Monday.com, you and the team can work in a way that's comfortable for everyone. Tap the banner to go to Monday.com and build your own amazing workflow, or find an awesome template. No judgment.
Hey everyone, this is Joe, and I wanted to drop a brief note, a brief intro before this episode. About 22 minutes or so into the episode, you're going to hear a beep, and that beep represents missing information. It's about a 16-minute segment that I've removed from the show, and I'll get back to that in a second. The reason I removed it is for a couple of reasons. One is because we already talked for 20 minutes and then I got in this tangent and we didn't even start talking about the episode till 40 minutes in. And I was like, that's way too long. I don't like it to be, I just thought that was too long. Two is, in this rant, this tangent rant, I go after a former contestant really hard. But after thinking about it, I decided to release, it's going to be released, but to the Patreon. And I may release it to the public in the future. I suppose if you want, this is not a plug for Patreon, but if you do want to hear it, I mean, I am going to release it on Patreon. And that'll be on Patreon this weekend. All right, well, enjoy this episode of RuPaul's Drag Race Recap. Welcome to the RuPaul's Drag Race Recap Show for Season 13, Episode 2, titled Congratulations. My name is Joe Batanz, and I am joined, as always, by one pernicious co-host. From the podcast pod is my K-Penny. Please say...
We already think you're the mole. I don't trust you, girl.
To Taylor, the Latte Boy. Hello, Taylor, the Latte Boy.
Joseph. How are you?
I'm doing very, very well. Everyone should know, if you're not a member of Patreon, I just listened to Taylor. This will probably be enough to get everyone into the Patreon. Talk about how he thought he had COVID, but it was just his boner pill.
You took the punchline away for people. You took away the suspense. You
know what?
It.
You're right. I did, because, you know, I'm going to bleep that. Because just between us girls, the Patreon supporters get that after the show airs. So I'm going to bleep it so they don't have that spoiled what the actual cause of your COVID fear was.
And we're not live today, so nobody knows.
Nobody knows why you thought you had COVID. Nobody knows my sorrow. Anyway... Taylor the Latte Boy, how are you? You know, it's so funny is, I don't know if this happens to you, and I'm such a fucking dick to my friends. It really is. I'm a horrible human being. But, friend of the show, John Paul, calls me on like Sunday or Monday. I don't know what it is. And he goes, are you watching Drag Race? Because John Paul's one of the people who watch one season, but then not watch another. He's in and out. Probably like most Drag Race fans, you know?
Yeah.
And he go, I go, oh, I'm watching Young. I do a fucking goddamn show about it. And he goes, yeah, I'm watching this season. And I go, yeah. And he goes, what'd you think of the episode? And John Paul's one of my closest friends. Talk to him all the time.
Okay.
And I told him, I do a goddamn show about this fucking.
You've had this conversation with other people before.
Yes. And I do a show. My thoughts of all people are out there with commercials.
Right.
Okay. And he goes, well, just tell me. And I go, just listen to you. Like, fine. Right. Now, I don't think he's actually, I really don't think he's ever actually listened to an episode, because then he calls me maybe Tuesday. Mm-hmm. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes, oh, I listened. Because he had to go to his mom's house a couple of times throughout the week. And so on his, it's the longest drive. And he's like, I listened about half the episode on my commute to my mom's house.
Yeah.
So I listened to the first half. And then he goes, you reveal a lot of personal information on this show, right? And yeah. And I go, uh-huh. And he goes, the thing with the cum and everything like that. And I was like, uh-huh. I go, it's true. I don't like. And then he started sending me, then he started arguing with you about what's organic. I don't know. It was like a weird argument he started having with me. He's going, you and I both know this, where with your personal friends, when they start listening to your shows, they start to have conversations with you midway as if they've been in another conversation. So then I start getting pictures on my phone of waffles covered in cum and wants to know what wants to know if this is suitable because it's organic. Right? So then I'm talking to Carlo from Germany. This is another thing, which this one actually, this criticism is legitimate. He goes, he calls me and he goes, I loved the episode. It was so good. And I was like, thank you. He goes, my boyfriend, though, who I kind of know, Philip, he goes, he was listening for the first time. And we were listening. He goes, and I'm just so used to the show. I'm just listening. But he said, 20 minutes in, he goes, are they ever going to start talking about Drag Race? And Carla was like, oh, yeah, I guess. I guess we don't really immediately start talking about the fucking show.
No, but I think that's what people like about our show is that, it, as you said last week, this is about two friends. Mm-hmm. You're not going to get inside tea from us. Mm-hmm. You're not going to get, you know, super, you know, you're going to get two friends who love the show who and also who love to occasionally hate the show.
Yeah.
Hate themselves for loving the show.
Yeah.
About this show, and that's what it is, and we're going to intersperse, you know, other aspects of our lives, that sort of stuff. Babalu listened to a good chunk of the show last Saturday in the car, and he's very funny because he does the same thing where he wants to have conversations with you and I in the car, but I'm driving the car at the same time, where we'll say something and he'll go, that's not true. But he's looking at the radio, and I'm looking at him like, one of the hosts is right here. Or your rant about candy, he kept going, you're both so mean. You're both so mean. And I was just like, no, Joe's mean. Yeah. I'm just going for the ride.
Yeah, I will say, listening to that back, I did go a little ham on candy. You know what's so funny? It's so sad. I was talking to my boyfriend about it. And this is so sad for the person I'm going to say, who I'm going to mention right now. Because Aiden, the guy that I'm seeing, he knows the show backwards and forwards. I'm saying that for a reason. I kept accidentally calling Candy Muse Candy Ho. Right? And he would stop and he would say, now this is a big Drag Race fan. And he would go, stop, who is Candy Ho? And I go, you know what?
Exactly.
I go, she was on season 7. He was like, oh, that's right. But that's also the big joke on Reddit is that no one knows who Candy Ho, like that she wasn't on the show. So I thought that was funny that he was playing into that. But this is essentially a long way about it, is a comedy show about two friends who use Drag Race as an excuse to get together and kiki. And Drag Race is a show that is a reality show pretending to be a competition. There's a lot of pretending going on.
Right.
But it's essentially a reality show pretending to be a competition. So anyway, when I was listening back to the Candy Muse talk, I was like, I went really hard on Candy Muse and Milk. For some Milk got shrapnel too. And I was like, but I will say this, and I was thinking that this episode, Candy Muse is a horrible person. You know, like
Candy Muse is, they're going to have to do some serious redemption arc with her in order for her to be really liked by many people, because I'm not a fan. I'm not necessarily a fan of her at all.
Yeah, she. It's so funny. It's like she. It's odd when someone to a T behaves the way they look. And what I mean is, it's like, let's say you saw, I can't think of an example that would work, but she looks like someone who would be a mean, angry bully kid, you know? And yeah. Then she looks like, if you just looked at her, right?
Yeah.
And then she acts like a mean, I think she's kind of mean. I don't know. I think the show's trying to treat her like she's super charming and Vanjie-ish, but I don't get that sense.
Yeah, no, I don't get that either. I just get apparently people love her. I mean, she is beloved in certain circles, but I just get she looks like my cousin. And when she had the outfit on the runway at the end with the hair with the big, I was just like, that is my cousin Jackie in 1985. Mm-hmm. So and she was a bully. She was a big mean Jersey girl, and that's kind of what I get from Candy throughout most of this. Even when Elliot kind of makes a comment, which I know we're getting ahead of mm-hmm. ourselves a little bit, but just she became fixated on that through the narrative through the entire episode, and it was sort of like, okay, girl, you know, we're all gonna do this. Get over yourself.
Yeah, but this is a bitch who's like. That's what I'm saying, talking shit all the time. But don't you, and I know you are an expert on bullies. In fact, you wrote the award-winning book On the Playground by Tale of a Latte Boy, DDS. And, which I believe is a dental degree. But anyway, you're kind of an expert in bullies. But wouldn't you think that's the case that often bullies have the thinnest skin?
Yes, bullies are often where they can dish it out, but they can't take it.
Yeah, for instance, famously, people who really listen hardcore know that I'm a giant bully, and that a couple of years ago, I'm going to talk about this. I was thinking about it. I'm going to address this, but a couple of years ago, George called me an ugly pig, a person we had on here on the rumor mill, and I flipped.
That is okay.
What'd you say?
Not exactly how he said it, but okay. That might be how you heard it.
I flipped the fuck out on the air, mm-hmm. you know, and blah, 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 blah. Now, I want to say something because I've thought about this. There are people who call me bully, but I'm going to tell you who they are. Bullies. I'm a bully against bullies. I bully bullies. Mm-hmm. Bully bullies. Bully bullies. Bully, bully. Bullies, bullies. Like, is there any nice – okay, name a nice person that I bully.
Adam Burns.
I do not bully Adam Burns.
Oh, Joe, come on. You don't.
Hold on. Everyone listening, if you're a member of Patreon, there's a show I have called Throwing Down where I kindly have a show with a guy named Adam Burns.
I kindly have a gentle show where I mm-hmm. engage in prayer circles with the one Adam Burns. You're a little, but you can lay it on thick. You definitely, there is a genuine affection for Adam mm-hmm. there, mm-hmm. but there are times that you do definitely, you take it right to the line with him. Mm-hmm. Whereas
I
think
other things, like I'll give you a perfect example of someone that I've bullied. And if you listen to Shady Pines, on the public feed, you'll know it's Joey Buhacker. Right. I've bullied Joey Buhacker. But Joey Buhacker is a bully.
Huh? Yeah. Joey used to bully you.
Yeah.
The two of you would say horrible things to each other. But you always laughed whenever he would say these horrible things to you. God. You always thought it was funny.
Yeah. But the more he goes, I don't know what it is about him. The angrier he gets at me, the funnier I think it is. He could be stomping on the ground like Rumpelstiltskin. And I am peeing my pants and says horrible things about me. Horrible things.
Yeah.
Anyway.
But we saw how well that ended.
I know. Somebody wrote me a letter about that because, you know, we have to, because, oh, you know what I want to talk about right now, actually? Thank you for reminding me.
Okay. The episode?
No, God. Why would we talk about that? No, everyone should know. In fact, this is actually a little late because it's actually dropping as we record this. Is Drag Race UK is coming back, but not with me and you, Taylor. And thank Jesus, right?
Thank baby Jesus.
No, but also, this is the way it should be, and this is the new policy of Afterthought Media, is that for the most part, there is a notable exception. For the most part, these international drag race shows from here henceforth will be covered, if they're covered at all, they'll be covered by people from that country, which I think is only fair, right? So no. The Drag Race UK boys are actually from the UK.
Yeah.
And so they have a wonderful podcast called You're Welcome America. I advise everyone go check it out. But also they're going to be here on Afterthought explaining all things. Remember last season I couldn't meet Daniel and I couldn't explain what a fucking Rupeter badge was. But they can explain all of that. They're super funny. They're super charming. They're fucking nice as hell. In fact, I often wonder if they probably don't listen to the show, but if they do, if they're like embarrassed to be associated, I would be so embarrassed to be associated with us.
No, why?
I don't know.
It was a lot of fun last week's, and I think that anybody who has a good sense of humor listened to that episode and enjoyed it.
I was, you know, Adam Salandra wanted to listen. Our new Afterthought Media personality, Adam Salandra, who will be joining us for All Stars, listened for the first time. He sent me a text message. First, he says, "I listened to the most recent episode of Drag Race Recap," and I was like, right? And I was like nervous. Okay, and he said he loved it.
It's great. It was fun. It was fun to do it. I think that you focusing your attention on 1 to 2 shows about this show called RuPaul's Drag Race is going to benefit the flagship show.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Anyway, this week, the Queens and the Pork Chop Loading Dock vote out Elliot with 2 T's, but in a twist, Elliot joins the winning Queens for the mini challenge. The girls show off their best daytime, nighttime runway. In the maxi challenge, the Queens record and perform original verses and choreography to RuPaul's song, Congratulations. What a horrible song, by the way. On the runway, yeah. The category is La May You Stay. After RuPaul announces that nobody will be eliminated this week, Simone and Olivia Lux go head to head in a lip sync for the win. Simone defeats Olivia Lux and takes home a cash prize of $5,000. Taylor the Latte Boy named 2 things you liked about the episode and 1 thing you did not.
I did like the twist of Elliot joining the winners. Mm-hmm. Initially, you know, I was bummed when she was the one that was voted off. And even though I didn't necessarily like the way they treated her, it made sense in the course of the story. I love me a look episode. So the fact that it was looks the whole time, I was very much about that. The thing I did not like is I have queens that I am really starting to really like early on. Mm-hmm. And I have queens that did nothing to further my interest in them.
Yeah.
Namely, Candy and Tina Burner are definitely ones that I'm sort of like, okay, I'm really kind of done. And my fear is because they are such big names that we're going to have to deal with them for a while.
Yeah.
So that's kind of something that I'm not liking. What about you?
So I want to comment on something you said. You said you really liked the twist of them. I'm going to just to reference last week's episode. If you noticed, when I was reading the script, when I was doing that part that we just did, actually, the little sort of mini outline, at the very end, I hesitated when I said they vote out or eliminate one of their own or something like that. I hesitated because I already knew that the person they voted out was going to go to the winner's team. And so I was sort of like trying to re-edit in my head because I wanted to be intentionally vague. So, FYI, a little behind the scenes tea there is when you hear me stumble, that's because I'm reading and realizing that's what's happening. Our producer, Luke Stamen, doesn't, I guess, read the spoiler, so he didn't know. So it's not his fault. He just wrote it as the way the show presented it, which is probably, it's probably fair to read it that way, you know?
Yeah.
So, 2 things I liked about the episode. I was going to say this later, but I'll say this now. Olivia Lux, especially one point she does this, sometimes says the stupidest shit. Okay, but hold, please, hold.
Yeah.
That fucking smile is worth $1 million. Because she can say stupidest shit, and I'm just charmed and smiling and think it's the greatest thing ever. Right? And, yeah, that smile is going to get her fucking far because she has a fucking killer smile. It is insane.
I feel like in my head, I can almost see who the winners are. Mm-hmm. The winner is of the season already. Mm-hmm. But I can also see definitely she's a front runner for Miss Congeniality at the very least, I would think. Unless something major happens, she's definitely there. I mean, she just beams positivity when she's there and beautiful. And I feel bad because I still, even like through the, when they were doing the runways and stuff, I'm like, oh God, yeah, that's right. She's still here. Mm-hmm. But it's still when she's, you can't not look at her when she's on screen. She's, she's amazing.
Mm-hmm. Another thing I liked is maybe just become so used to the show and so jaded on the show. All the, even though they're so contrived, all the twists and turns and goopery I'm here for, cause I guess it just brings something fresh to the show. And so even though it's going to take a while for us to eliminate somebody, I'm here for it. Because it gets us more time to see these queens, you know?
Yeah.
The one thing go ahead.
I do like the fact that, you know, we talked about, like, we tried to remember whether or not they split up the teams last week where you and I couldn't remember that. And I'm like, oh, yeah, no, because they did the That's My Bitch or I'm That Bitch and the other song that I can't remember with Nicki Minaj and stuff. So, yeah, this becomes the new normal to give everybody a little bit more screen time and so that we get to know and fall in love with some of these girls or, in my case, with some of them, really dislike some of them.
You know what? You just reminded me. Maybe I should have – this. I'm going to take back what I said because mine is more general. I don't know why it is. Maybe it's because I hate this fucking goddamn Todrick Hall so much. Somebody said online that Monet Exchange said that if RuPaul ever retired, that Todrick should, I can't remember if it was Monet or Bob or somebody like that, right? And by that I mean black. well, I, just, I don't know what it is. I don't think Monet and Bob look anything alike. I do think they sound a lot alike, but I don't think they look anything alike. But, and then they both have that show together. I think it was actually on Sibling Rivalry. One of them said, that they think that Todrick should take over. And I was like, and a lot of people online said this too. If RuPaul retires, and I'm saying this right now, and I am not lying. If RuPaul retires and Todrick takes over, that might be the end of this show. I don't know. Because what it might just become is just openly attacking that show. Is this the just show purely? Yeah. The show, in other words, is that show becomes the Biden administration and we become Tucker Carlson. Okay. Because I might hate watch it. And it's just the show just now, it's just without a doubt just ripping that show apart. But I hate this Todrick Hall so fucking much. Yeah. And that's what's weird. Like I told you, two separate people that I know who are so kind and so nice and thankfully don't listen to this show are really good friends of mine and also Todrick's. Uh-huh. And I don't get it. He is a horrible human being. And I will say they don't know that I hate him because they don't listen to the show. So they'll talk about Todrick and I'll be like, well, you know, the same thing happened. The same thing happened with this. You know what? Let me talk about this now.
Never going to get through this episode.
No, we're never going to get through this episode. All right. The queen chose lipsticks for the queen they think should go home. The girls struggle with their decision, but after a couple of rounds of voting, Elliot with two T's is sent off to meet her fate. What did you think of this whole
twist
here? Yeah, this whole scene here with the girls.
It was torturous. They did a really good job of kind of making it very tense, you know, and I also get that it's manipulation with the music and all that sort of stuff. But the fact that there was a tie again and that it was where she said, so now you have to vote again for one of these two girls. That was where we both looked at each other, my husband and I, just like, you've got to be kidding. Like, that's torturous. I thought, to put them through that. Mm-hmm. I thought it was interesting, though, that they said we have, you know, we have a winner, we have, you know, a selection, and they didn't mention in that part of it that apparently it was unanimous, but she mentioned to all of the original six, or the winning six, when she was explaining to them, that it was unanimous that she went home.
Mm-hmm.
That she was voted to go home. Which I thought they would have added that in, mm-hmm, as just another, you know, kick in the balls, because she seemed very upset for obvious reasons when she thought she was going home.
Which I find it was odd that it was unanimous, because there were obviously people who voted for Utica first and they were like, man, we'll go to Ellie with two T's now. Like,
right, yeah.
I thought that was very, very strange. But let me ask you this question.
Mm-hmm.
Based on what you saw and the little you saw of these queens, let's say you were there to vote, who would you have sent home?
I think I would have sent home Utica.
Oh, really?
Honestly. I don't get the Utica thing yet. Mm-hmm. I mean, obviously she's there for a reason, but mm-hmm, Elliot is very much my aesthetic, of where she seems very 80s forward, which I enjoy. Mm-hmm. They're definitely trying to push Exposé as the new Elle DeBarge, where she's already brought up Exposé twice. Yeah. You know, RuPaul has in the season. There's only two episodes, so I have a feeling we're going to be hearing "Come Go With Me" every time she walks over to Elliot instead of Rhythm of the Night. So I like her more. Mm-hmm. As of right now, that may switch once we see a little bit more from Utica. But mm-hmm, I would have voted for Utica. Who would you have voted for?
I think I would have voted for Elliot with two T's.
Why?
Because she looks like Evan Ayers, former co-host of the show. She gave me a very strong Evan Ayers, and I booted him from this show. So, yeah, she quit, but I want to make a change.
Okay, I thought that's what happened. But,
but no. No, I was kidding. I think there was something about – I could see – you know, we saw differently after we saw the show, but I could see on a first impression basis that Elliot with two T's seemed like the weakest link. You know, the look wasn't the best when she came in.
And but Utica was? That was a mess. She looked like a mess. And especially with the whole time where her wig is pulled back to where you can see her hairline. I mean, just something about that is not polished. That is not where you're – that, you know – say what you will so far about Kamora Hall. I mean, mm-hmm, she looked completely polished and everything while she was sitting there. You know, a couple of the other ones looked slightly
mm-hmm
new. But, I mean, Utica just kind of with the wig and the weird things and the weird heavy strawberry tilt in her – everything about it, I don't get that yet.
Mm-hmm. No, I think I still – just going on first impressions, I think I would – I think – because I think I'm still – I'll be honest with you. I'm still charmed – by a little bit. There's a little bit of charm I have with Utica Queen. I don't know why. I'm not completely won over by her. And maybe next week, by the end of next week, I'm like, I want to vote her out now. I don't know. But I will say I didn't hate her as much. You know, I didn't hate her.
I don't hate Utica.
You told me you hate Utica.
I did not say such a thing. I don't get it. Mm-hmm. When she does her little interviews, they seem to have very short clips of her speaking. Mm-hmm. And there is something where she has that positive energy. She definitely mm-hmm has that. I just don't get that aesthetic.
Yeah.
But I also wasn't – I mean, she reminds me a lot of Thorgy, and I didn't never really got Thorgy's aesthetic.
I didn't
aesthetic
get Thorgy. I actually see the Thorgy comparison, but for some reason, and I don't know what it is – yeah, because I had the same – I actually learned to love Thorgy, but I sort of had the same reaction. I could see that, right? But for some reason, it annoyed me with Thorgy, and it doesn't annoy me as much with Utica. We saw very little of her last week. That's why I want to see more next week. But I think I still would have gone with Elliot with two T's.
Okay.
All right. Very good. Moving on. The winning queens enter the workroom, and Candy Muse declares war against the losing queens should they return. After a video message, RuPaul announces that one more queen will be joining the winners in the workroom. It's Elliot with two T's. The girls do not like that, by the way. Next, RuPaul announces this week's mini challenge, summer and winter runway looks for 2021. Taylor, your thoughts on what were you thinking about Candy declaring war and doing all that, and Elliot two T's, and the way they reacted to her coming back and all that stuff?
I thought it was ridiculous. I thought that the level of... Okay, let me rephrase that. I think that it felt like it was very much of the where they were so surprised that she was coming back. It's not like she had been gone for 3 or 4 episodes and then magically appeared.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they couldn't have really thought that it was going to be where they were going to do a season with just 6 girls.
Yeah.
That they had to know that they were coming back in some fashion and that this was the one that came back. Mm-hmm. On the other hand, I also get that they're recognizing that there are twists this season. And that it makes sense that she would be a spy or a mole or a saboteur or something of that sort, especially when you consider that that was the only lip sync where there were 3 girls instead of 2.
Mm-hmm.
So then it makes sense of why did I have 3 and then one of the ones I sent home is now back. What's that about?
Yeah.
But I thought that the level of just where we're not going to trust her and everything was a little ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
One thing that I also wrote was at one point, Tina was talking about drama and she's like, you know, or talking shit or something. And she's like, that's not my thesis, where that's all she did in the first episode was talk shit about everything else.
I know. The level of unprofessionalism, far too much. They always do that shit. And Tina and Candy being the biggest culprits of it at all, completely.
Yeah.
All right. For the mini challenges, the girls get ready for that mini challenge. Candy brings up her legacy, which leads Elliot with 2 T's to ask Candy if Candy thinks she will suffer the same fate as other legacy queens like Vanjie and Dahlia, who were the first girls sent home despite their legacies. On the main stage, the girls show off their best summer and winter fashion looks. Let's talk about that moment.
Not what it was.
What?
That wasn't the theme. The theme was daytime and nighttime.
Oh, thank you. Luke Stamen, you're fired. The best.
Follow people on the job.
Yep. And then I'm going to get a fuck. No,
we're taking applications now.
I shouldn't have said that because now I'm going to get a fucking email. I'm going to get a fucking message, Taylor. And you would think, let me tell you this. You would think that even, but when I say this, this would preclude getting a message. No, I'm still going to get the message.
No, because he realized after he sent it that he wrote summer and fall or summer and winter looks, and he is been stressing about it. So he has been dreading the fact that you told that 85-hour story about Katya and all of that sort of stuff. Mm-hmm. That just dragged out the inevitable where he is just like his fingernails are down to the nub. He's like, worried.
He's jumping that. 30 seconds to find it. Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. All right. Sorry. What was it? They showed off their best what? Daytime and nighttime looks. Now, by the way, I'm willing to concede, but I can go on Google Docs and look at the edits. That I go and I edit these scripts. I may have done that edit, but but I will.
So now he's panicking because we're blaming him for something he genuinely didn't do.
Yeah, right now he's going and building his case. Like, no, I did not. Blah, 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 blah. And then Nami Harder is going to get involved. You know, I'm thinking about adding a new segment to our show. Nami's correction corner, because we got a bunch of corrections.
Did we really?
Oh yeah. I just didn't care enough to write them down. But maybe we'll bring Nami's correction corner to this segment, to the show. We'll do it at the top of the show, or maybe we'll do it in Just Between Us Girls or something. But Nami's correction corner. All right.
Okay.
So let's talk about that moment in when Candy is bringing up about her legacy with her mom Aja and her sister Dahlia, and then Elliot, which I believe is a fair point, by the way. I think it was a very fair point. I think it's a completely relevant point. And by the way, one of the things that this fucking horrible Candy Muse says is she's like, she just got here. Now she's talking about life. I'm like, you all got there at the same time.
Yeah.
You all got there at the same time.
You haven't had time to walk in nature with children, you know, over months and months and months. You've all been together a day or two.
Yeah,
Calm down.
Yeah, this isn't like, remember when Cuckoo, whatever her name is, Cynthia Lee Fontaine, remember she showed in at the end of that last episode? Okay, you can maybe say that there, right? Because she missed that first episode, okay?
Yeah.
Elliot with 2 T's has been there the exact amount of time. If you think about it, here's what happened. Let's walk through what's happened on this show so far. They had the lip sync for the Pork Chop Lounge or not, right?
Uh-huh.
Winner circle, other circle. Okay. While they're waiting for those lip syncs to end, there's like an untucked in each in each room.
Uh-huh.
It ends. The next day, the girls walk into the workroom, chat for like a half a second. RuPaul comes in and says, there's another queen joining you. It has been virtually no time at all.
Right. And if anything, Elliot has had more to do because she had to do the voting thing that the other girls didn't have to do.
And this fucking bitch just got here. This bitch just got here. She's telling me. I'm like, bitch, you guys have been there the same amount of time. The same amount of time. There's nothing that this group has done that she wasn't there for except walk into the workroom. God, this candy, this candy muse, King Kong Candy, can go fucking fuck herself. Hate her so fucking much.
Are you glad that you corrected that instead of saying King Kong Bundy like we talked about this week?
Yes. I called Taylor this week and go, I listened to the episode back and I regret I called it King Kong Bundy. It should have been King Kong Bundy. And I think he thought Joe's feeling remorse for being so mean to her. And I was like, no, the joke should have been King Kong Candy.
Right.
What? On the main stage, the girls show off their best daytime and nighttime looks. Now, you know I don't give two shits about the looks.
Which is why we've spent an hour talking about other stuff. I realize that's why we're talking about all these other things, because you don't want to talk about the looks. I'm on to you, Batanz. I know exactly what you're doing.
Do you want to tell us about your thoughts on the look? Any looks you liked or anything?
I can give you a like one sentence for each look, both daytime and nighttime.
All right, go ahead. Real
quick. The first look was Gottmik, and I know that she came in like a latex rainbow, like blue outfit with rainbows at the bottom, and she had great big hair. I liked that. I thought it was fun. Mm-hmm. Candy Muse came in some like Kirsten Dunst in Interview with the Vampire sort of crazy, like, you know, outfit that was not daytime at all. But it was a pretty look. I thought Lala Ri's look was off the rack, and kind of drab. Mm-hmm. Olivia was, I don't know what I, Lady. Oh, I thought Olivia's daytime look, she looked like Lady Miss Kier from D-Light. Remember Groove is in the Heart? Mm-hmm. Do you remember that song?
By the way, the do you know, RuPaul's talked about this in her old show. D-Light indirectly responsible for the success of RuPaul because she was friends with those D-Light people. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And they come out with Groove is in the Heart and have this big hit. And she's like, fuck that. I know them. I could do better. And then she starts working on Supermodel of the World.
Okay. Yeah. That makes sense then. Mm-hmm. So Simone came out in the very 90s suit that had the big, huge block, geometric blocks. I love the color story with that. I love the color combination of that. Tina Burner came out in an outfit that I thought the top was sloppy, but it was a great wig. And Elliot with two T's, it looked off the rack, but better than Lala Ri's. Do you have any thoughts on any of the daytime looks? Do you remember any of them?
No, but you know what I should do right now? We're going to take a break. And during the break, I think usually by this point, they've put up the looks on YouTube or something like that. And maybe I can look at them for the next... You've already done the daytime and nighttime looks?
I just did the daytime, but I have to do the nighttime.
All right, do the nighttime. While you're doing the nighttime, I'll see if they have them on YouTube.
Okay. All right. Gottmik. Okay.
What happened?
Oh, I thought you said, okay, like, because you said we're going to take a break.
No, after we're done with this.
Okay. So Gottmik came out in a very gothy look with a pasty over her one nipple, and I loved it. I thought it was very Dragula. I thought it was something we would have seen on Dragula. Candy Muse looked like the crab from Moana.
Oh, wait. I did have a joke about Candy Muse. This is the one in the red latex?
Yes.
I'm not even joking. She came out and went, oh, the both Boulay brothers made a special appearance on Drag Race? And I was like, oh, no, it's just one person, Candy Muse. Okay, go ahead.
Okay. With Lala Ri, she came out kind of in the dominatrix type outfit. And my concern was that it looked cheap to me. And I feel like her lack of polish is going to be the issue and part of a storyline for runways for her in the future. Olivia, I loved the dress that Olivia had on. I thought Simone looked a mess in the outfit that she had that was kind of very 90s club, but it was all sort of scrunched up. Though the jokes they were making about her having, like, you know, trying to do the walk of shame home, I thought that was the best part of her look. Mm-hmm. Tina Burner. I wrote, I'm tired of the red, yellow, and orange that she's doing. Mm-hmm. And Elliot with two T's came out with the top hat and the riding crop. And I just absolutely loved that. And I said, a top hat and a riding crop are always appreciated.
Well, don't you think that that's always going to be Tina Burner saying that she's always going to do those looks, the red and orange or whatever?
Well, and I'm glad that Michelle called her on that on the runway, because I'm glad to see you in something other than red, yellow, especially with the weird, like, magenta hair that she's got. She's giving, like, very Ronald McDonald vibes to me, and I'm not necessarily here for that.
Yeah.
So hopefully we will see her in other things, but I get that we're trying to brand ourselves in the beginning, but it was just a lot. And even when she's doing the performance, it's like, okay, we get it. Red, yellow, we get it. That's your thing. Fire, Tina Burner, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
We want to see you do something else.
Yeah. I'm looking at the nighttime runway looks now. I already saw, got Mick. She looks fantastic. I saw the Boulay brothers make a guest appearance on RuPaul's Drag Race. And then I was like, oh, they look fantastic. You know, they're always doing that complimentary thing. And then, you know, they compliment each other on like, and then they're like together. And I was like, oh, no, that's, Candy Muse. All right. Next, I'm giving my thoughts on the looks right here. Next we have, I don't know who this is. Who's the next one after Candy Muse?
Lala Ri.
Okay. Lala Ri, you know, they loved it, right? I don't know. Like, Ross loved it. Like, that's the girl he want to go to a club with, right? I just was very whatever about it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'll be honest with you. I'm going to talk about it. I feel sorry for Lala Ri. Is like, if you're not a queen who has a lot of money, or can buy things on, on promise to pay, I think you suffer in this show now, where I think that used to be the case. But I'm looking now at Olivia Lux. She looks fantastic. I love Olivia Lux's outfit. It looks fantastic. I have no idea what you were talking about, because I was busy looking for the looks and the nighttime looks. But what did you think of it? Did you like? You agree with me or no?
I just wrote, I love the dress.
Yeah, I love the dress. I don't know how I feel about the wig. I know. I will say this: did you feel? Is Simone next? Is that Simone?
Yeah.
Simone. On Simone's first look, I will say, didn't you think that her wig, to borrow a term from a hostess from a long ago, that her looked a little thirsty? On her first look.
I wasn't a fan of the wig. I know I didn't like the wig. I didn't necessarily like the wig on her second dress either. It was sort of like the braids with the dangle things at the end.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't necessarily a huge fan of that. Mm-hmm. But I loved the outfit that she had on in the daytime look a lot.
Mm-hmm. I agree with you, Tina Burner. It's always going to be orange, yellow, and red, which I'm sure Michelle's going to clock her for. I wonder, though, do you think that Tina Burner is so calculated that she's doing this, waiting for that? She's self-producing her own narrative arc here in terms of looks?
I could see that.
Should we talk about how her weird fake tan and how bad it looked in this episode?
Yeah. Well, plus with the whole thing where and where all of her confessionals are where she has on the suspenders and the tank top. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if pattern behind her or if it's the bad tan or whatever, but it almost looks like she's got hairy shoulders. Mm-hmm. like the lighting in it is where I don't know if she has issues with her skin or whatever, but or maybe she does have hairy shoulders, I don't know, but there's something about it that it's distracting when she's talking, when she's giving confessionals.
Yeah.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp.
All right, I gotta get something off my chest. By the time I finish watching RuPaul's Drag Race 2 times, recording 2 different shows about it, and spending my entire week around RuPaul's Drag Race, the last thing I want to do is listen to other podcasts about RuPaul's Drag Race. But people are constantly saying, do you listen to this podcast or that podcast? And I'll be honest with you, I don't, because I barely have time to record the one that I do. And this sits on me, on my chest. So I have to get it off my chest, because I'm like, is this hindering my growth as a creator? So I'm glad I told you guys this, so you guys can stop recommending shows or asking me if I listen to Race Chaser or Sibling Rivalry. We all carry around different stressors, by the way. Big, small, serious, silly. And when we keep them bottled up, it can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest. Can you imagine if I went to therapy with this? And to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. I have benefited tremendously from therapy. Tremendously. And it's a way for me to work out different problems that I've had. And I've shared those problems with you before. If you have stressors in your life, you need to talk them out. That's how you release the toxicity, is by talking it out. And therapy can help do that. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online. When they designed it to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. All you got to do is just fill out a brief questionnaire and they'll match you with a licensed therapist. And by the way, if you don't like your therapist, you can just switch therapists at any time at no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/dragrace today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/dragrace.
This is your last chance to enter the Ohio Lottery's Fun Turns 50 promotion. Score $3,500 and two tickets to the epic party at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, where you could win part of another $400,000 in cash prizes. Enter the new 50th anniversary scratch-off, or $50 worth of eligible non-winning $5 or $10 scratch-offs, and My Lotto Rewards through the Ohio Lottery app. Hurry up! The last entry deadline is May 13th. Lottery players are subject to Ohio laws and commission regulations. Play responsibly.
Yeah! All right. The Queens enter the workroom after the runway mini challenge to de-drag Candy. Annoyed by Elliot's earlier comments, wonders if Elliot is a mole. Next, RuPaul enters the workroom to announce this week's maxi challenge. Each queen will have to create an original verse to RuPaul's song Congratulations and work as a team to choreograph a group number. Tina and Olivia exude confidence while Elliot wonders whether she has what it takes to write her own verse. Taylor, any thoughts here on this big segment?
I guess the one thing that I wrote here was the energy levels that we're getting, or the personalities or whatever you want to call it, about mm-hmm. two queens in particular, and that is Olivia Lux and Gottmik. Mm-hmm. I feel like every time Olivia Lux is on screen giving confessionals, mm-hmm. like you want more. You want that energy. It's, mm-hmm. It's the best bowl of ice cream you've ever eaten kind of thing when you're watching her talk, and just the hopefulness and the positivity and everything. Gottmik, great conceptual artist so far from what we're seeing, mm-hmm. but there's something about her energy in confessionals that is off-putting to me, and I'm not sure what it is.
Yeah.
I feel like she's being a little extra.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that comes out a little more because do you think in a weird kind of way that Gottmik feels so far internally, we're going to see this play out later, that she has a lot more to prove, you know, whether that's valid or not, don't you think that maybe that's a feeling she has?
Yeah, no, I agree with that. And that is why I'm not like where I'm like, oh, Gottmik. No, I don't like her. I don't like him. But there's just an energy there of where we're trying so hard, mm-hmm. you know, but then it's similar to, but then when we see where in Untucked, mm-hmm. where Gottmik starts to kind of show his authentic self, mm-hmm. and talk a little bit more honestly about who he is, that de-escalates a little bit, that deflates a little bit. And then it makes it easier to get to know the person behind the drag versus this persona of, you know, we're I don't know what the word is, you know, extra. Mm-hmm. It's just very extra. It's similar to when you would see, though I definitely, you know, Laganja, mm-hmm. in the beginning, where Laganja was kind of over trying, mm-hmm. and then eventually when Laganja would have those moments of where her defenses would go down and you would see the real Laganja, you would appreciate Laganja a little bit more. Mm-hmm.
Well, I wonder, you know, because you and I we, because we're so comfortable now in front of the microphone, are a lot more natural. But if you go back to like the early days of our podcast, I know I can only speak for myself. I was definitely trying to self-produce, you know?
Yeah.
And I didn't sound like the way I do now. This is pretty close to how I sound in real life, but this took a long time of podcasting to just get comfortable enough to do it. And that's just, and so I think if you think about Gottmik's position, but, and you and I know that we're going to talk about something later. If you think about Gottmik's position, she also recognizes the enormous weight she's carrying on her shoulder as the first trans male contestant on RuPaul's Drag Race. And so I'm sure that's always in the back of, as a boy, his mind, on this competition, that he is representing a movement. And I think the other girls recognize this too when they actually talk about it later. And so that might, maybe there's a conscious, even more so than your typical contestant, it's more of a conscious effort to be very aware of oneself because of who he is representing, on this show. Okay, we have the maxi challenge. All right, during the rehearsal, none of the queens wants to take charge of choreography. Meanwhile, a reluctant Elliot chooses to hide in the shadows rather than share her dancing expertise. Meanwhile, Gottmik, this is the part we're going to talk about, doesn't realize they'll be dancing to their verses and freaks out because she didn't have a chance to share what she was a trans male with her fellow contestants first. This disrupts her concentration for the rest of the rehearsal. Taylor, you and I talked about this a little bit, but what were your thoughts here on this moment? And on the whole thing, on the whole segment.
Okay, well, I get why Elliot maybe didn't want to come in, and especially considering it feels like Elliot was odd queen out for a good chunk of this so far. So to come in and suddenly say, I have choreography expertise or experience, I can understand why we wouldn't. But then the comment that Tina made of the, oh, you're a choreographer. Like, yeah, I am. I do have experience with this, but I also understand why Elliot is trying very hard to kind of get her way into the group.
Yeah.
So he doesn't want to come in all, you know, oh, I can do this. We've seen girls do that before.
Yeah.
I thought a lot of the La La Ree just kind of making faces and stuff looking around was very like, okay, this is my fear is though, we're going to start to see, as we've seen happen, even though this is one of my favorite moments ever of the show, but we're starting to see is of we're going to get the more Jim Halpert looking directly at the camera, you know, like we saw last season with, what the hell is her name? The finalist, the one that did Dorothy in the final, oh my God. What the hell was the girl's name? Don't just stare at me. What was the name of the girl? Gigi Good. Where Gigi Good had that moment where she looked at the camera. Why are you staring at me like that?
I'm watching you talk. I'm just listening to you, professional podcaster, master of words, wordsmith, Taylor the Latte Boy.
I don't want that to be where every once in a while when somebody says something, somebody else just kind of looks off. I don't want that. I feel like that's where that's what's going to happen, but we'll see. Joe is trying to do that right now. But yeah, no, it makes sense. As far as the whole thing of where we suddenly heard our voice in the headphones and then had this moment. Yeah. I don't get where Gottmik wouldn't think that they wouldn't use the lyrics, that they wouldn't all hear that. Or are they all supposed to be surprised? Like when they start playing, because that's just going to be a train wreck.
Yeah.
It didn't make a lot of sense.
I want to call something here. You know, as you learn as a stand-up comic that when something happens in the room, like let's say it's, for instance, a couple at a table get in a big argument and storm out of the room, you have to call the moment or otherwise the whole audience can't get over it, right? You have to acknowledge that just happened. It's the same thing here. So I have to acknowledge. I have to call something here. And this is going to be for the season. I was thinking about this last night. I was taking notes because I have something to say here. And everybody, like you saw how ham I went with Candy Muse last week. And so I'm an equal opportunity make fun of the queens. But I was really in my head last night as I was taking notes because I'm going to make fun of Gottmik. But I was like, oh God, am I going through a minefield here? Right. And I realized though that by being careful with Gottmik and not anybody else, I'm actually doing her a disservice as a drag queen, doing him a disservice as a boy, if I don't make fun of him.
Yeah.
Okay. And since I'm going to say him right now because he's presenting as a boy in this rehearsal. I want to know, he wrote the lyrics in front of the girls in the workroom, wrote these lyrics, which, by the way, later I'm going to criticize these lyrics because they're very, like, of all the lyrics, it's just like the history of Got Mick in a verse, right? So
right.
He's sitting there going like, Got Mick was born a girl. Okay. Goes to the studio in a microphone with a producer, records the track. Goes back to the workroom, and this is not, they didn't, like, they go, I mean, you know, then, because then they have to have, there's obviously time in between them recording this and then putting it, working it into the track.
Okay? They have to produce it. Yeah.
Yeah. They have to produce the thing. And then they're listening to the track, and she goes, I'm sorry, he goes, oh my God. I did not realize I was going to be, that they were going to hear these lyrics. I'm all like, well, this comes from producing yourself. I think he thought he was going to get a chance in the workroom. Like he was self-producing his mirror moment.
Yeah.
And so he was like, I will do this on elimination day. You know, when I'm getting ready in the mirror and putting on the makeup.
Yes.
And that's what happened. Is that, I think that's what it was. He was saying, but obviously he, and you know what? Maybe shame, cause the producer probably knew that was going to, well, I guess they have to rehearse to their track.
No, I think,
we've
seen other episodes where they rehearse and they're playing, you can hear the music, you hear little clips of the music. So clearly they're going to, where they all have to lip sync and stuff. So it makes sense. They're going to give them their tracks to practice lip syncing. So they can move
so
the dance.
So that was very silly that no one wrote the lyrics for him. He wrote his own lyrics, recorded them, and then is shocked when they play the lyrics. And he's like, oh my God, I've been exposed. I'm in my head. So a little silly Got Mick. And by the way, I'm a big Got Mick fan.
Uh-huh.
You know, by the way, last week you were like, I think you'd be into Got Mick. And I was like, no, but I could see it more this time.
Yeah.
All right. It's elimination day and the queens are preparing for the main stage. Elliot feels the pressure. Got Mick opens up to Olivia about her gender. And the two have a discussion about Got Mick's preferred pronouns in and out of drag. Meanwhile, the group asks Elliot for the tea about the other group of girls. Tina asks the other queens who they would send home if given the opportunity. Candy says she'd choose Tina because she's competition. Tina says she'd send home Mick for being a threat. Simone agrees with Candy and chooses Tina. And Olivia realizes that none of the other girls see her as a threat. Your thoughts on this elimination day, Taylor?
The one thing that stands out is Candy saying to, I believe it's Olivia, if you screw up in the choreography, just don't let them see you sweat.
Yeah.
Don't let them know. Just act like you did it on purpose. Mm-hmm. Which, once again, we're giving advice and we're saying things to other people, but we're not taking our own, we're not taking it in, you know. So as we'll see during the performance. I mean, I think it's good that it felt like the moment of where Elliot was talking to everybody and saying, this is what just happened, but this is what happened. This is why I'm here. Mm-hmm. I think helped to add Elliot as a member of the group where I don't know if it was where they felt sorry for her. I don't know if it's where they just realized that, okay, maybe this isn't. But then there's also part of me that thinks that would be a great, if Elliot was in fact the mole, that would make for a great story that the producers could come over and say, when they ask you what happened, just tell them this and then put them all on their side.
Yeah.
You know, remember the show, The Mole?
Oh yeah. With Anderson Cooper.
Anderson Cooper. He was the first season. He was the host of it. And I loved that show. I loved that show for what it was. And I would love to see something like that on a future season of Drag Race.
Oh, really? Were they like an actual mole? Well, I didn't want to tell you this. Okay? I don't know how I feel about this right now. Taylor doesn't know I'm a mole.
Oh, no. I know you're a mole.
He doesn't know that I've been secretly planted here to get him to confess things. For no reason whatsoever, by the way. Just for all my own amusement. But
And you can hear those confessions on Just Between Us Girls for members of Patreon.
Taylor can't hear the sound effects, so he doesn't know I'm playing the confessional music.
Oh.
Yeah. And it's supposedly he can't hear me in theory, but he doesn't know I'm the mole. But that's my
fault. Maybe I can and I'm the mole.
Good point. All right. I don't really have a lot to say about this elimination. I didn't really think. I mean, I thought it was very interesting. I'm glad they did that. They had got Mick give his preferred pronouns, you know, in and out of drag. It's tough for doing what we're doing because we have to talk about him in drag and out of drag, and we're going to have to switch back and forth. Or should we just say her the whole time? What do you think?
I think that it, considering that when all of the other contestants that we have talked about over the years are, whether they're in drag or not, we refer to them all as she.
Mm-hmm.
If I say she, I am saying it. I'm talking about the characters. I just kind of see all of the different characters of the show as performers, even when they're not performing. So I'm going to probably say she the entire season, unless something is going on that I feel as though it is pertinent to say he. But when I say it, I am not. I acknowledge and recognize Gottmik is male, but Tina Burner is male, Candy Muse is male, but they present this persona even when they're not presenting. Does that make sense?
It does, and I will follow your lead.
Yeah. So so no need to send letters.
All right. On the main stage, Rue introduces the regular judges as well as choreographer Jamal Sims before the queens perform their stage number of RuPaul's Congratulations. You know, we got so distracted with my Todrick Hall thing earlier. Mm-hmm. I didn't tell you that thing I was trying to officially talk about was that how much I love this Jamal Sims.
He's great.
I love Jamal Sims. I think he's so great. Fantastic. I think he's so great. He's able to criticize, still be positive. It doesn't seem like he's doing it for the camera, you know? It just seems like he's there to do work. Okay.
Can we talk about one thing, though, with Rue?
Yeah.
There was a big scene where Rue kind of gave Lala Ri the look when she almost tripped on her dress.
Yeah.
And Rue was tripping over that dress when she came down the runway.
Yeah.
If you watch, it was where she was clearly holding it up, and then the last step she takes, she almost goes forward, where she clearly is standing on the front of her dress. I encourage everyone to go back and watch that little bit of that scene.
You really watch this very carefully. Mm-hmm. All right. So they watched them perform the stage number, Congratulations. Do you have any thoughts on Congratulations?
My first thought was it felt like Gottmik's lyric. It was only half of the lyrics.
Oh, really?
Like it felt like everybody else's lyrics were much longer than Gottmik's. And I just wrote by the end of it, this is really bad.
It was not good at all. And also they have this new thing on the runway and on the thing where they have these lights that look like space heaters.
Mm-hmm.
They're super distracting.
Yeah. I was distracted by them once or twice too.
Yeah. I don't really have any thoughts on Congratulations besides that it was bad. It was really bad. But I don't really necessarily blame the girls. I will say the one highlight, I was sort of thinking they were setting Olivia Lux up when she said, I write music. But actually, I thought her lyric was the best. And I thought mm-hmm. Elliot with two T's dancing was the best. You know, movements.
Yes. There was a large disconnect of energy where some of them, and particularly Olivia, I'm glad you said Olivia and Elliot, seemed to have a lot of energy and were really into it. And then you had other ones that it felt like a lot other than Candy, because Candy clearly didn't know, like Candy got in her head and didn't know what she was doing. But a lot of them just kind of faded into the background. Like you stopped watching a lot of them, except for I was kind of going back and forth between Elliot and Olivia.
Well, here's the thing with Candy. I don't know why this is. I'm not criticizing her. I am, but it's not her specifically. For some reason, big girls, when they dance, I don't know why this is, their signature move is high kicks.
Yeah.
This Eureka O'Hara just kicking all the time, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Candy was kicking all over the place. I'm like, is it because that's the only move they can do, or?
Well, I think it's to show flexibility. It's a show, flexibility in a brief spurt.
Mm-hmm.
It's not where we're doing a whole lot of other, we're not doing a lot of other things. I mean, you and I are both big girls, and I mean, I can dance, but ultimately I'm just kind of going back
right now.
You want me to dance right now?
Yeah.
Do you want me to do a high kick and then do a shablam on the,
actually,
we just watch all the books in my bookshelves all just fall.
Babalu calls the police. If we had more time, I would, but we're running short on time. So, okay. It was a horrible number.
Yes.
But again, the blame really squalls squarely on RuPaul, who had a terrible song. That's a terrible song.
That's a terrible album. That album's like 2 years old.
Oh,
and
it's
pretty much all of the songs are the titles of most of the songs are all things that she says on the show.
Yeah, it's a very strange, it's a weird world she lives in, where everything that she said, I don't know. All right. But
it makes sense because we all watch every week.
Yeah. Yeah, I know.
We feed into it.
Yeah, we do. All right, let's talk about the looks. The category is LeMay, You Slay. Oh, You Stay. First up, we got Mick in a ruffled metallic bodysuit. Your thoughts, Taylor?
I didn't like this.
I
didn't
like it.
No, there was too much. I get the artistry of it. It just wasn't something that I can appreciate that. It just, maybe if it was different colors, but I wasn't a fan of the combination of the metallics that she used for it, the LeMay.
All right. Next up, we have Candy Muse with a silver bra, shorts, and a jacket. I think that was the one that's reminiscent of Austin Powers from Michelle, correct?
Yeah, Fembots. Yeah. I just wrote LeMay. Like, I don't see how this represents LeMay to me. I just was not, I didn't like it at all. And again, she looked like my cousin.
Yeah. Lala Ree was in a golden ruffled top with pants and a train.
I loved this look of metallics. I thought this was a much better look of metallics than Gottmik was. I thought she looked beautiful. She reminded me of Retta, the actress Retta. I thought that's what she looked like with the hair and the big ruffles and the elegance and everything like that. And I was all here for it.
All right. Olivia Lux with a cream and mint one shoulder gown.
I wrote Blanche Devereaux realness. That's who she reminded me of, was Rue McClanahan and like the prime of Golden Girls. So I thought she looked beautiful. I thought it was old school Hollywood. It was everything about it was just, she's just a really pretty girl.
All right. Simone came out a wrestling robe, short belt, and sports bra with blonde braids.
I thought that it was an interesting approach and it was definitely outside the box as far as LeMay goes.
Mm-hmm.
Is memorable. Did I like it? Not necessarily, but it's memorable. And I can appreciate it and I respect it.
Yeah. All right. Tina Burner was in a Tin Man silver jacket and mom pants.
I at first thought, you know, oh, wow, no red. And then she opened up this thing and there was a red heart, which I also get as a reference to the Tin Man sort of thing. It was okay. I mean, I liked it, but it was still... You know, if you're going to do the silver face paint, have it go all the way up your hairline. Don't have the bare skin stripe all the way around the sides. Mm-hmm. It was okay. I mean,
by the way, I want to call out.
I think I don't like it because it's Tina Burner.
Yeah, every season RuPaul tries to work in at least one Mommy Dearest reference. Earlier, when they did the mini challenge, she said, "Let's go," you know, which is a Mommy Dearest reference. But she got another one in, which I thought was very clever. When she said, Tina, bring me the axe. And that is a very clever Mommy Dearest reference. Finally, Elliot with two T's came out in the 80s. Prom-inspired poofy sleeve, blue and green dress with nude stone top underneath. Your thoughts on this outfit, Taylor the Latte Boy?
Again, we're going to the 80s aesthetic. So she definitely was 80s sophomore cotillion. Mm-hmm. My date, Regina, had the sophomore cotillion at my high school, had an outfit that looked pretty close to that, but she was kind of giving me Little Mermaid, with the red hair and the blues and the greens and everything. So of course, anything that's 80s with a bubble skirt like that and the big poofy sleeves, I'm here for it.
All right, very good. And those are the looks. The looks. After the judges' critiques, Rue announces the top two queens of the week: Olivia Lux and Simone. The remaining queens are all named safe. Next, the top two tweens. The next top two queens go head to head in the lip sync battle for the win and a cash tip of $5,000. The song "Break My Heart" by Dua Lipa, which what a good song that is.
And, that is a great song.
And the but the winner was Simone. Taylor, any final thoughts on the episode?
I thought the lip sync. I feel like we are seeing the beginnings of the lip sync assassin with Simone.
Yes, 100%.
Yeah, I mean, just between, though she seems to have, while she has a group of great moves that she does, I feel like she did some of the same movements last week as she did this week. So she's got to be really careful that she is able to kind of mix things up a little bit. Mm-hmm. Olivia's lip sync, it didn't necessarily connect with me to the song,
no.
to the style of the
no.
song. It was very like joyous and happy, but she's supposed to be sad. Like it was very over the top. Kind of thing. And yeah. that makes me worried if she has to lip sync in the future. Like, whereas the song last week that worked for that, it didn't work for this song. So yeah. if that's her group of moves that she has for lip syncs, that concerns me for future weeks if she's ever has to lip sync.
She took it a comedy route when it's not a comedy song. It's not a song that lends itself to comedy. And, but it was interesting. I thought Simone did better on this lip sync than she did last week, where she really captured the feeling of the song, and I almost to the point where you would think she sang the song in real life. Like,
yeah.
it sort of felt like she was really singing the song and this crazy person. It honestly, it wasn't to this extreme, but it mm-hmm. felt a lot like when, Latrice was singing Natural Woman and the little midget Kenya Michaels was in the background dancing like a lunatic. And
yeah.
and Latrice was still and capturing the song. It had that sort of, Simone's movements were a lot smaller, but much mm-hmm. more
nuanced,
but also determined. What I mean is like she knew the moves she was gonna take, whereas Olivia Lux seemed to be making jokes out of every line and on the nose with everything, where mm-hmm. Simone was actually feeling and acting out the song. I don't think I have any really any final thoughts on this episode. I think we covered there really wasn't much to this episode. It was a pretty standard issue. We divide the two teams up, and I'm assuming that next week the group is going to do the same sort of daytime nighttime look and then a similar challenge. They did this last year too. And so we'll be kind of covering the same beats, I think. And because most of these girls are pretty strong, there wasn't a lot to talk about. I think we will see a lot more and have a lot more to talk about on episode 4 when those two very different groups of girls come together. And then that's when you're going to see the tension. That's when you're going to see the tribalism, so to speak, in terms of the winners and the losers and the weaker and the stronger. Any other thoughts or Taylor?
I feel it odd that no one yet has mentioned, at least not on camera, that Tanisha, like no one has mentioned to Lala that who was it that went up against Tanisha last week? Was that Simone?
Well, why would Simone know?
Well, because they've talked about the fact that Rosé, where Tina knows that Rosé, that Dimitri, who did you go up against? Who did you go up against? And the fact that no one has mentioned to Lala or either Tanisha's in the other group.
Well, because I think do you think maybe she does? Maybe do you think maybe they did and they're just hiding that?
I think that they have to have. They have to have.
Yeah. Yeah. And so they know what's happening. All right. Any other final thoughts, Taylor T. Latte Boy?
Nope. Let's wrap this one up.
All right. Well, that's going to do it for this episode of RuPaul's Drag Race Recap. Be sure to join us next weekend every week as Taylor the Latte Boy and I discuss, dissect, and deconstruct each brand new episode of RuPaul's Drag Race Season 13. So for Taylor the Latte Boy and myself,
sashay away until next week.
Thank you for listening to RuPaul's Drag Race Recap. Have something to say? Email us at dragracerecap@afterthought.media. For more Drag Race and LGBTQ content, support us over at Patreon at patreon.com/afterthoughtmedia. You can follow Taylor the Latte Boy on Instagram and Twitter at PIMCTaylor. Follow Joe Batance on Instagram at Joe Batance. That's Joebetance. This episode was produced by Luke Stamen. Drag Race Recap is an Afterthought Media podcast.
Thank you to BetterHelp for sponsoring the show. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/dragrace today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.com/dragrace.